Welcome to the April 2024 edition of Agribusiness News, brought to you by the Farm Advisory Service. My name is Christine Beaton. Agribusiness News helps you to scan your horizons, prepare for industry changes, and keeps you abreast of the latest research and policy updates. Along with our regular monthly updates on policy briefs, arable, beef, sheep, and milk, in this edition, we're also bringing you sector overviews on marketing opportunities for Scotch lamb and the rise in value of straw. We will also be bringing you news on why you should invest in your vet and you're never too young to future-proof your retirement. As promised last autumn, the Scottish Government has announced more details with regards how agricultural support will change in Scotland from next year and the actions that farmers and crofters will have to take in order to be eligible for the new support payments. In preparation for the gradual transition to the new agricultural support framework, which will start in 2027, the latest update puts some meat on the bones of the agricultural reform roadmap, including the introduction of a maximum 410-day calving interval for suckler cows, pest management plans for arable farmers, biodiversity audits, and new conditions for managing wetlands and peatlands. Detailed guidance on each of these new changes will be made available during the summer. With IAC season underway, the proposed new Land Reform Scotland Bill, currently at stage one in the parliamentary process, could change how land in Scotland is owned and managed in rural and island communities. The implications for large farms and estates could be significant, given the fact that the proposed measures include, in certain cases, prohibiting land holdings over 1,000 hectares from being sold until government ministers can consider the impact on the local community. In this month's edition of Agribusiness News, while our sheep articles explain why brilliant lamb prices are hogging the farming headlines, our dairy article explains why, despite the spring flush, from a financial perspective, dairy farmers are not feeling flush. Our sector focus and input articles this month highlight the benefits of investing time and money in your vet and how straw could be the new golden currency in our increasingly cyclical economy. And with the wet weather continuing through March, the knock-on effect on both spring work and the demand for grazing cattle, this month's article on retirement planning may tempt some family members to review their options. Moving on to this month's policy briefs, the Scottish Government have introduced a new land maintenance form, PF06, to simplify and expedite the process of making essential land changes to land parcels. To access the new form and initiate land parcel changes where required, please visit the Rural Payments and Services website. Please find the link in the show notes. The Wildlife Management and Muirburn Scotland Bill has now been passed. Its main remit is to protect wildlife. The new bill bans the practice of snaring and the use of glue traps to catch rodents. It also gives greater powers to the SSPCA to tackle wildlife crime and introduces a new licensing framework for grouse moors. For more information, please find a link in the show notes. The new Land Reform Scotland Bill is aimed at changing how land in Scotland is owned and managed in rural and island communities. Measures include, in certain cases, prohibiting land holdings over 1,000 hectares from being sold until ministers can consider the impact on the local community. This could lead to some land holdings being lotted into smaller areas and/or communities being given the opportunity to take on the ownership of some or all of the land in question. You can find more information in the show notes. As the Scottish Farm Business Survey is the Scottish Government's primary source for economic modelling of the impact of future policy change, the farm income by farm type 2022 to 2023 figures highlight that, while on the whole, general cropping, cereals and dairy units are profitable without support, livestock farms largely remain unprofitable without support due to the increasing cost of production. The recent and sustained high prices for livestock may go some way to reverting that trend. The recent and sustained high prices for livestock may go some way to reverting that trend. Now let's move on to the key aspects of the spring budget. From the 6th of April 2024, national insurance contributions for employees will be reduced by 2% from 10% down to 8%. This is in addition to the 2% reduction applied in January 2024. For self-employed Class 4 contributions, where business profits exceed £12,750, national insurance contributions are being reduced by 3%, from 9% down to 6%, including the 1% cut announced in the autumn budget statement. From the 1st of April 2024, the 12-month taxable turnover threshold, which determines whether a person or a business must be registered for VAT, increases from £85,000 to £90,000. Conversely, the 12-month taxable turnover threshold for deregistration for VAT increased from £83,000 to £88,000. From the 6th of April 2025, the furnished holiday lettings FHLs tax regime will be abolished. The intention of this is to remove the current tax advantage for landlords who let short-term furnished holiday properties over those who let out residential properties to longer-term tenants. Under the capital gains tax reliefs, holdover, rollover, business asset disposable, BAD, reliefs will no longer be available on disposal of a property. While currently under the scheme, FHLs qualify for plant and machinery capital allowances on items such as furniture, equipment and fixtures. Going forward, allowances will only cover replacement of domestic items, in addition to which mortgage interest will no longer be fully deductible expense. Key policy dates to note. The new agricultural wages order came into effect from the 1st of April 2024. The EECS deadline for slurry store and standalone water use efficiency irrigation lagoon grant applications is the 19th of April 2024. Moving on to arable. Global wheat production in 2024 is forecast to increase by 1% over the previous year, but will fall short of the record output achieved in 2022, according to a report from the Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO. The FAO report noted that in the United States and Canada, two of the world's largest wheat producers, plantings are down, but anticipated yields are up due to improved weather conditions. For 2024, FAO pegs US wheat production at 51.5 million tonnes, which would be above last year's total and the recent 5 years average. Canada, meanwhile, is projected to harvest 33 million tonnes in 2024, despite a 2% contraction in wheat plantings. Also contributing to the FAO's projected global wheat output of 797 million tonnes is Russia, where an increase in output is expected to favourable weather conditions. China, where strong domestic demand and an increase in the minimum purchase price have supported an expansion in the area planted, is spurring an expected rise in production, and Pakistan is expected to increase production to 28.3 million tonnes in 2024. With wheat planting having been disrupted by heavy rains in several of the European Union's key wheat-producing countries, particularly France and Germany, the FAO expects output in the EU in 2024 to fall slightly to 133 million tonnes, adding that the falls are also expected to play out in the UK. Recent weakening of sterling against the euro and the US dollar makes imported grain into the UK comparatively more expensive. This means UK prices can rise, hence the recent lift in the futures values, before being capped by the cost of imported grain. From July 2023 to January 2024, wheat imports totaled 1.25 million tonnes, up 55% in the year, and up 13% on the previous five-year average. Full season wheat imports are expected to reach 1.73 million tonnes, up 28% from last season, and would leave a wheat carryover of 2.83 million tonnes, 31% tighter on the year. The current value of November 2024 wheat futures is £191 per tonne, compared to May 24 values at £170 a tonne, reflects this tighter situation. So far this season, July 23 to January 24, UK wheat exports have totalled 165.7 thousand tonnes, down 78% on the year and down 64% on the previous five-year average. As well as not pricing competitively on the global market and reduced demand for European wheat, a tighter year-on-year wheat balance is also contributing to the downturn in exports. After heavy rain throughout the autumn and winter, the updated early bird survey shows considerable falls in winter cropping, including wheat, winter barley and oilseed rape. The UK wheat area is now expected to fall 15% year on year to 1.463 million hectares. This year, the total barley area is estimated to rise over 8% to 1.236 million hectares, with sharp falls in winter barley down 22%, offset by considerably higher spring barley planting up 29% year on year to an estimated 881 thousand hectares. Overall, the total UK oat area is estimated to rise by 26% to 209 thousand hectares, just shy of the 210 thousand hectares harvested in 2020. The total area of oilseed rape for harvest in 2024 is estimated to be 28% lower than planted in 2023. Although as a more environmentally friendly alternative to fossil fuels, Scotland's energy framework already heavily incorporates bioenergy derived from organic materials such as trees, plants and food waste. Proposals are being sought regarding the sustainable utilisation of bioenergy, which encompasses the cultivation of crops suitable for conversion into electricity, heat and fuels. The newly proposed strategy outlines how bioenergy can contribute to the emission reduction efforts and advocates for dedicating specific agricultural land to the cultivation of bioenergy crops. The 12-week consultation period ends mid-June, with the Scottish Government seeking input on both the potential benefits and obstacles associated with utilising biomass for fuel, as well as the feasibility of utilising land for the cultivation of perennial energy crops to meet domestic energy needs. Please find the link to the consultation in the show notes. If you're enjoying agribusiness news and are interested in crops, why not try one of our other Farm Advisory Service podcasts called Cropcast? The most recent episode includes an interview with Dr. Neil Havis, a senior plant pathologist at SRUC, who discusses natural products with a focus on elicitors. Weekly price drop for finished cattle. After slipping back weekly throughout March, at the time of writing in late March, finished cattle prices were sitting at 506 pence per kilo deadweight for R4L Scottish steers. With cattle supplies plentiful in recent weeks, processors have cut prices to reflect availability. Reports suggest that cattle availability has exceeded expectation as finishers offload cattle due to the changes in the tax year. Despite fat price dropping, the beef price remains strong and prime cattle prices remain elevated, plus 11 pence per kilo compared to the same week last year. Going forward, reports suggest that prices could be unpredictable due to the four-day weeks over Easter. However, it is anticipated that the prime cattle supplies will tighten from mid-April onwards, which should see a rise in the finished price. Reports suggest that retail demand is currently strong. Recent retail figures from AHDB show that beef steak prices performed well, up 1.7% over the same period, influenced by Valentine's Day purchases. AHDB also reported robust demand for mince, contributing to the trade for cull cows. In recent weeks, cull cow prices have marginally increased, with the R4L price currently sitting at 380 pence per kilo deadweight. It is anticipated that cow prices will rise as demand increases as we head towards bank holidays and potentially barbecue weather. This, coupled with a drop in the numbers available, should push up prices. Store cattle continue to be a strong trade, although not as brisk as in previous weeks, with several markets reporting prices to be less. The heavier stores, 500 kilos plus, are in demand as finishers look to turn around these quickly, within 100 days or so. Early spring store sales are usually a good trade, as finishers seek to fill sheds ahead of the start of arable spring work. Once sowing starts and sheds are filled, the demand from finishers may reduce, putting a dip in the store trade, especially as some finishers are now thinking that store prices are getting too dear. While to date, wet weather has been hindering turnout, heading it into April, a spell of dry weather should increase demand for grazing-type stores. Following Keepak's grid change in December, APB have also announced revised specifications in a move to reflect market conditions and the greater influence of dairy bred animals. This will see greater rewards for better bred dairy cross cattle. The changes include a 5 pence per kilo bonus for R plus cattle and weight restrictions being increased to 420 kilos. However, reports suggest that weight caps have been waived in recent months due to the tightening cattle supplies, with the revised limit announced now simply providing official confirmation of this. For those finishers buying yearling cattle at £1,600, a lift in the weight limit will be a welcome relief. Scottish Suckler Beef Support Scheme 2023 payments have commenced. The 2023 payment rates are mainland producers, £105.10, island producers, £151.24. Due to less animals being claimed in 2023, payments for mainland calves are up £3.68 per head this year, and payments for island calves are up £6.76 per head. Moving on to sheep. Drought in the Mediterranean countries, coupled with low forage availability and disease pressures from midge-borne viruses such as blue tongue and Smallenberg, are all contributing to the decline of the European sheep flock. This fall in the total flock has led to a reduction in meat production by 6% between 2022 and 2023, equivalent to 26,000 tonnes less, with Spain and France showing the largest decreases at 13,000 tonnes and 6,500 tonnes respectively, followed by Greece at 4,000 tonnes and Italy at 3,000 tonnes. It has been predicted that the European flock will fall again in 2024 by a further 1%. While French and Spanish lamb are typically at a premium compared to world market, the current price of UK lamb is competing hard with these superior prices, with the demand high for current religious festivals, Ramadan, Easter and Eid. The week prior to Ramadan saw the following prices. France, 8.83 euros per kilo, up 90 cents per kilo from last year. UK, 8.71 euros per kilo, up 3 euros per kilo from last year. And Spain, 8.05 euros per kilo, up 93 cents per kilo from last year. The current UK price exceeds the highest SQQ price per kilo for prime lamb in 2023, which was £7.40 per kilo for the week ending 20th of May 2023. The latest available figures show a SQQ price of £7.98 per kilo for the week ending the 16th of March 2024. This shows a rise compared to the same week last year of £2.76 per kilo, or £58 for a lamb 21 kilos in weight. Due to the attacks on commercial shipping in the Red Sea, many shipping companies are avoiding the Suez Canal. Transport logistics are also being further complicated as an alternative route via the Panama Canal is facing capacity constraints due to low water following summer droughts. For New Zealand and Australian lamb to come to Europe and the UK, shipping containers now need to be rerouted via the African continent, which adds around 40% more distance, costing time and money. This is creating a great challenge to these exporting countries, whose largest exporting time is between February and July. Also, New Zealand has a free trade agreement with Europe about to come into force mid-2024, which will leave the perishable foods in question for exporting in the current conditions. While the lamb price in these countries is currently low, due to the complexities with supply due to the transport challenges, the European customer is favouring UK and Irish lamb to ensure supply throughout key religious festivals. Now let's move on to the sector focus on straw and muck. Unlike most other farm inputs, straw did not suffer the same inflationary price rises in 22-23. However, with the wet summer and autumn last year and the continuing wet weather over the winter, straw prices have increased significantly, with reports now suggesting that straw prices in 2024 could be higher than those witnessed in 2020-2021, which, for those farmers who buy in a lot of straw, is a real concern. A dry harvest with favourable weather in 2022 created an incentive for arable farmers to bale straw, resulting in the availability of plenty good quality straw for livestock farmers. However, With last year's wet weather and wet ground conditions delaying the establishment for the next crop, coupled with an increased fertiliser costs, led to large amounts of straw being chopped and returned to the soil. The continued wet weather, especially in the south of England, is also affecting spring field work, which is likely to result in a reduced straw harvest for 2024. However, it is not only the arable sector that is affected, as the wet weather and wet ground conditions are hindering stock turnout to grass. This extended need for bedding has led to farmers in some areas opting to use hay for bedding. Markets holding fodder sales across the country are reporting high demand for straw, with demand outstripping supply. Aberdeen and Northern Marts fodder sale in mid-March saw 4 foot inside spring barley straw bales sold for £24 per bale, an increase of £7 per bale from their January sale. Merchants south of the border are reportedly paying about £20 per tonne more on average compared to this time last year. With carrot growers already actively looking to source straw ahead of the growing season, livestock farmers are advised to source straw ahead of winter housing 2024 to avoid challenges faced by higher straw prices and the predicted reduced availability. While high straw prices may lead farmers to looking for alternative bedding materials, the nutrient value of farmyard manure should not be overlooked. While the nutrient values of artificial fertiliser are obvious by how they are named, for example 2010-10, the nutrient value of organic fertilisers is often overlooked. Organic manures are a valuable source of N, P and K trace elements and organic matter. A further benefit of using organic manures is that approximately one-fifth of the nutritional value of the nitrogen in both farmyard manure and slurry will be available in the next growing season, dropping to a tenth of the value in the third growing season after application. Although these residual values will be relatively small, every little helps both technically and financially. Poor start to the spring flush. Milk volumes are increasing as we head into the spring. The two latest global dairy trade auctions showed negative results for dairy commodities sold. Milk prices have been increasing, but how far they will go depends on grass growth, grazing conditions, and the extent of the spring flush. The latest milk production data from AHDB shows that GB milk output for February was provisionally 975 million litres, 4.8% less than the January volume. Daily deliveries were 34.91 million litres for the week ending the 16th of March 2024, 1.2% above the previous week, and 0.3% more than the same week in 2023. Unfortunately, UK data from Defra on February's volume and the average farm gate milk price was not available at the time of writing. The most up-to-date milk prices from the main Scottish milk buyers available at the time of writing are as follows. Please note that the prices are in pence per litre. First Milk Manufacturing, 38.75. Müller, Müller Direct Scotland, 37.5. Graham's, 35. Arla Farmers Manufacturing, 40.06. Lactalis, Fresh Milk Company, 37.72. Both First Milk and Müller have increased their April price by 0.75 pence per litre and 1 pence per litre, respectively. The latest UK wholesale dairy commodity prices for the week beginning the 19th of February to the 11th of March 2024 only showed a positive price movement for cream, plus 2%, which firmed on the back of higher butter prices at the end of February. The 5% fall in skimmed milk powder compared to the previous month reflects the downward price movement seen in the global dairy trade GDT auctions. Buyers' short-term needs are covered and are not looking to purchase too far ahead as they anticipate prices falling as milk volumes continue their seasonal increase. As a result, the market indicator AMPE fell 1 pence per litre on the back of the lower skim milk price, and the milk for cheese value equivalent fell by 0.53 pence per litre due to weaker mild cheddar. The latest GDT auction, 2nd of April, returned an increase in the average price across all products sold, up 2.8% to 3,558 $1,000 per tonne. This upturn follows two negative auctions. At the latest auction, skim milk powder and whole milk powder rose by 1.4% and 3.4% respectively from the previous auction. Butter and cheddar showed more rises of 3.1% and 4.1% respectively. While results just published by the Scottish Farm Business Survey show that dairy farms had an average farm business income, total output minus total costs, of £248,700 in 2022-2023, up 42% on the previous year. In contrast, in mid-March, DEFRA published their farm business income forecast for 2023-2024 of just £50,000, down a staggering 78% from £248,300 in 2022-2023. This drop was almost solely attributable to the lower farm gate milk price as opposed to less dairy cows or a drop in milk output. Recent monthly costings data published by Promar for December 2023 indicated that while feed costs have fallen 13% compared to 12 months ago, milk price was back 26%, and therefore the margin over purchase feed in pence per litre was down by 31.3%. Rabobank predicts that during 2024, gradual, small, positive price movements will be seen in the dairy commodity markets. It is expected that while milk volumes will be back in the first half of the year, volume growth will be seen in the second half of 2024 on the back of lower feed prices and better margins, aiding a return to profitability. Global demand for dairy products has been sluggish so far this year, but economic growth is looking up as the fear of recession in some countries has now passed. Now let's move on to the Scottish lamb market. Lamb is currently seeing record price levels due to a perfect storm of a shortage of supply and high demand from religious festivals. We have witnessed through Brexit, COVID and issues in the Suez Canal how quickly pressure can be made on supply chains and the impact this has on agricultural produce. For this reason, as an industry, we should be looking to embrace opportunities to extend the market for Scotch lamb. Learning from the large lamb-producing countries is always beneficial and inspirational as to how they create opportunities for their product. First off is New Zealand, where Beef and Lamb New Zealand have partnered with the New Zealand Olympic Committee. With this, they will support the New Zealand athletes in Paris 2024 Olympic Games, allowing them to show the nutritional benefits of lamb and beef and how it fuels their national team. With this, they will showcase their national pride and show support for their producers, as at the same time as building trust with their European customers who they happen to have a trade deal coming into force in mid-2024. With their competitive price point, in France, our largest importer, and their strong marketing campaign, this could potentially be harmful to Scotch lamb. Next is Australia. Meat and Livestock Australia have some fantastic marketing campaigns and ideas to push their produce, including an excellent TV ad called The Generation Gap. Also, Australian Lamb has recently partnered with Domino's in Australia to offer lamb on pizza, with two lamb-based pizzas on their menus. This is a great example of diversifying this highly nutritious and versatile product. By showing the relevance of lamb in quick service restaurants while targeting a different demographic in the younger generation. According to Just Eat, fast food is the third most popular food choice in the UK, with the most popular item being the burger. It is estimated that fast food outlet McDonald's serves over 3.8 million customers per day in the UK alone, but there is no lamb on the menu. This is a lost opportunity. Italian food is shown as the most popular UK fast food. Therefore, the Australians are not silly in targeting the pizza. Avico surveys have shown that one-fifth of 16 to 34-year-olds are attracted to fast food establishments with environmentally friendly initiatives, which gives an opportunity to attract new lamb customers by showing that lamb is highly sustainable, protein-rich, high in vitamin B3, B12, iron and zinc. Figures released by AHDB have shown a 5.7% increase in lamb sales during Valentine's week this year compared to last year, possibly due to Valentine's being midweek in 2024 and the convenience of ready-made, added-value products such as pre-marinated dishes ready for a low and slow cook. This uplift in sales highlights that you should be marketing homegrown sheep meat for all occasions, not just the traditional Easter. Equally, taking on board the fact that customers are lacking in either time or skills to cook lamb from scratch, there is opportunity to boost sales further by creating easier to cook, ready-made, air fryer lamb meals for the supermarket shelves for easy midweek meals for families, as well as premium dishes for special events. In an era where environmental and sustainable choices are key themes, there should be no better time to promote lamb as a sustainable protein source. Not just boasting the high protein, low in salt, high vitamin B3, B12, zinc, and easily absorbed iron, but also boasting that Scotch lamb is high welfare, a traceable product with exceptional food safety standards. Not to mention the high level of environmental stewardship that our sheep farmers carry out through diverse grassland management, growth of forage crops, and bird cover that this brings in the winter, plus protection of watercourses, to name a few. As the country's economy recovers, with inflation falling and wages rising, this is a perfect time to diversify or embrace new opportunities for marketing lamb, both at home and abroad. QMS's Scottish Red Meat Profile shows per capita consumption of lamb is sitting at 2.2 kilos per year, compared to beef at 19.2 kilos per year, showing we are a country with a very low lamb consumption. However, there is a huge market opportunity in halal. AHDB figures show a Muslim household spends on average £30 per week on sheep meat, while a general population household only spends £12 per week on all meats. Let's move on to vet spend and risk management for suckler herds. Vet spend can vary significantly between different suckler herds. In the 2022 QMS Cattle and Sheep Enterprise Profitability in Scotland report, the reported range was £2.50 to £7.80 per calf reared, with an average spend of £5.48 per calf. In general, there is a notable trend that the more profitable herds tend to have a lower vet spend in total, but have a higher output of wean calves on a per cow basis. We have a duty of care to safeguard the welfare of livestock, so when animals fall ill, veterinary spend on advice and treatments are obligatory and an unavoidable cost to the business. Although the most significant cost of a disease outbreak is rarely or never in the vet spend itself, but in the lost productivity due to the reduced fertility, growth rate, and mortality that comes with the problem. Taking pneumonia as an example, it is well understood that around 40% of the cost to the business comes from veterinary spend. The bigger losses come from a combination of reduced growth rates, 40%, higher mortality, 14%, and an increased labour requirement on farm, 5%. Where efficient businesses win out is that a higher proportion of their vet spend, that is 80 to 90%, is in relation to prevention rather than cure. In a low-margin enterprise, the temptation is to look at all vet spend as pure cost and try to eliminate it. However, investing time and money in seeking preventative advice will pay more dividends in the long run due to healthier and more productive stock. By getting it wrong, what do you stand to lose? One quick and easy way to do this is to estimate the total herd value at weaning for both the best-case and worst-case scenarios. The difference between these two figures is the financial value of the health risk that the business faces. The bigger the figure, the greater the importance of investing in preventative advice. Two key figures to focus on are the estimated value of your calves at weaning time and the cost of replacing a dead cow or one you need to cull early due to health or fertility issues. With the Scottish Government introducing a maximum 410-day calving interval for suckler cows under the Suckler beef support scheme in 2025, herd fertility issues will no longer just be about losing a potential calf income, but support payments too. In our work with farmers groups, the calving percentage for a 10 to 12 week weaning period often ranges from 70 to 95%. If you value a replacement heifer at £1,500 and a cull cow at £750, the net replacement cost for an unproductive cow equates to £750 per head. For a 100 cow herd, this translates to an annual replacement cost ranging from £3,750 to replace 5 barren cows up to £22,500 to replace 30 barren cows. However, if you decide to give these barren cows another chance, from 2025 you'll risk losing the calf payment. Typically, we find that farmers estimate annual cow survival rates from 99% down to around 92%, which in reality may be even lower. For a 100 cow herd, this range equates to a loss of 1 cow up to 8 cows, or when expressed as a financial value, £1,500 to £12,000 based on a replacement heifer value of £1,500 per head. With regards calf mortality, losses can be broken down into abortion 0.5 to 5%, stillbirth 1 to 10%, losses in the first week 1 to 8%, and older losses 0.5 to 5%. Using these approximate figures would give a cumulative best case scenario of 3% for all calf losses, rising to a scary and thankfully unlikely worst case scenario of 28%. While calf growth rates will vary in terms of feeding regimes, if pneumonia can reduce growth rates by 40%, a potential 1.25 kilos per head per day gain drops to 0.75 kilos per head per day. If valued at £3 a kilo live weight for a weaned calf, the difference in value per gain drops from £3.75 per head per day to £2.25 per head per day. While this doesn't sound much, but over 200 days to point of weaning, this differential leaps to £300 per head in potential calf value. Based on the figures previously mentioned, if you have a problem with herd fertility and or have a higher mortality rate, what you stand to lose could be very significant. Investing some time and money now to minimise health issues will not only help to safeguard the welfare of your stock, it will also help to reduce the carbon footprint of your business. A win-win. With the Scottish Government offering funding of up to £750 on animal health and welfare interventions, now is the time to talk to your local vet practice about health risk management and what preventative measures you can take. Finally, moving on to retirement planning. Many farmers quite rightly concentrate on the here and now of their businesses, but how often is their thought given to life after the farm? There is a lot of conversation at the moment about succession planning, and part of that is where you want to live in retirement. If the farm is tenanted and you have no successor and you give up the tenancy, there can be the added pressure of finding somewhere to move to. In many cases, farmers have lived most of their lives in the same place, so the emotional impact on you as a person must not be underestimated. In a similar scenario, if a farm is owned and you're faced with either moving out for the next generation, or in the case of a sale, planning ahead to have somewhere to go can reduce some of the pressure at a stressful time. If there's no obvious solution to this retirement housing issue, such as a farm cottage, then consideration may want to be given to buying a property and then letting it out until such time that you want to move. In doing this, you can take time to choose a location you prefer and the style of property best suited to you. There is obviously a cost in undertaking such a purchase. However, consideration should be given to the revenue that can be raised from rental income. The earlier a property is purchased, the more chance you have of paying off any mortgage prior to retirement, but advice on this should always be taken before undertaking such a project. To rent out a property for either residential or holiday-let use has a degree of responsibility, but it is all quite achievable. When looking for a property, Consider if you want a renovation project or something more hassle-free and opt for a turnkey property. You may also want to consider engaging the services of a letting agent if you do not feel you have the time or the capacity to be a hands-on landlord. All properties rented out need to meet the minimum tolerable and repairing standards as set out by Scottish legislation. This covers the fundamentals of a property, such as ensuring it is wind and watertight, but also that it has the required certificates in place. Properties require an energy performance certificate, and the better renovated and insulated a property is, the better for all parties. Please find the links in the show notes. Electrics, gas and water also need to be checked and confirmed safe within the property, as well as having the required alarms in place for smoke and heat detection. Once a property meets the legislation for rental, a landlord is required to be registered with their local authority. Then the property can be advertised and rented out. Current residential tenancies are governed by private residential tenancies, which have a much shorter minimum term than historic short assured tenancies. Holiday lets, aka short-term lets, require additional paperwork, as would a house of multiple occupancy, HMO. Current market rents have risen steeply in recent years. However, this needs to be balanced with finding a tenant who will look after your property and provide a stable rental income. For further information or to have a chat about your options, please do get in touch with the author, Jennifer Galloway, on jennifer.galloway@sec.co.uk. You can also find details in the show notes. This edition was edited by Christine Beaton and included articles written by Christine Beaton, Andrew Coulter, Sasha Grierson, Mark Bowsher-Gibbs, Sarah Balfour, Kirsten William, Lorna McPherson, Tim Geraghty and Jennifer Galloway. Presented by myself, Christine Beaton, and produced by Alistair Trail, with executive producer Kerry Hammond. This podcast is part of the Scottish Farm Advisory Service and produced in association with the Scottish Government.
The Farm Advisory Service Podcast. Audio advice on livestock, crops and soils, environment, rural business, and more. Brought to you in association with the Scottish Government.